Good morning. I hope that you have done well this morning. And once again, I have gotten busy and forgot to get the lapel mic, and I'll be good without it this morning. But I want to share with you the fact that they're on the ball up there, and they're turning this microphone on now, and my apologies to you up there. They are great, and they do a wonderful, wonderful job. And I've said before about the only time we notice them is when something isn't right, and this time it wasn't right with me. So I'm thanking them for their help and looking forward to being more thoughtful toward them in the future. Now, before I begin talking about joy this morning, Chris Simmons wanted me to make sure that all of you knew that he had a lot more joy than the rest of us. For those of you that don't know Chris and joy, he's absolutely right, and we appreciate that. We are looking at joy this morning, and it is what we are calling a Transformation Sunday. And believe me, there are days that all of us need to be transformed, but there are some people who live life, as some folks have said, sort of in the kickety mood. Nothing seems right. It doesn't matter what happens. Everything is wrong. It's a woe is me kind of world. And we need to be thoughtful about that as children of God. We've sung some songs this morning that ought to be uplifting to us. And as we think about joy to the world, the Lord has come. Someone that can lead us from this land of sin and sorrow, and that is a great description of our world. There's some fun to be had in our world, but it is indeed a land of sin and sorrow. And so we ought to be grateful and look forward to the Lord leading us. Those of us who are willing to follow him and serve as his children, we ought to be so grateful and joyful no matter how little happiness we might have today because of some circumstances. If you looked in your worship bulletin this morning, and I hoped that you all picked one up, we're grateful. Jennifer does a fantastic job of putting this together. She and Bill worked together on that, and they put this together. And this year, we are putting a Bible reading schedule in our worship bulletin. And I just wanted to point out to you how fitting it is to go with our Transformation Sunday as we take a look at what our elders and ministers are trying to do to lead us and help us be what we need to be transformed into what we need to see. Biblical joy, it's different from a worldly kind of joy. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning for just a few minutes. And I want you to think, we're going to come back to James chapter 1 in just a little bit, but as we think about biblical joy, it's not always about happiness. We can be happy, 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 and then in a breath, we can be miserable. All of that joy is taken out of that. If you are a person who loves athletics, your favorite team can be ahead. I remember an Alabama-Auburn game, forgive me, Milton, a few years ago when Alabama had the game won, only a few seconds left, and they kicked off, and Auburn scored. Man, all the people for Alabama were turning back flips, those that could. And they were excited and happy and joyful as they could be. And then that rascal from Auburn ran the ball all the way back, with no time left, basically, for Alabama to do anything. That's about as great an illustration of happiness turning to misery as we could give with regard to sports. But there's some serious situations. Several years ago, when I was serving as a vice president at Freed Hardeman, I received a call. I needed to come up to the school. There'd been an accident on Mill Street, right where Hamlet intercedes, and it was two of our students. Those guys had been misbehaving. They had been smoking pot, drinking beer. I'd never seen beer in a gallon jug before, but there was beer in the car. I had to help the police with them, got up there in time to help get those young men out of the car. The police found, of course, an empty gallon jug of beer and one that was still half full, and they found marijuana in the car. I was just thinking, as I was thinking about that situation, and I've talked about this before, they got in their car around Benson Hall, and they drove up that hill in front of the auditorium. They went up to Washington Street and turned and went over to Mill Street. This guy had a sports car that could run good, and I'm sure he let the hammer down because the police estimated they were sliding sideways when they hit a tree, when that driver's car door smashed into that tree. I thought about 30 seconds before they hit that tree how much fun they were having. They left the dorm. Some of their buddies said they were laughing and loud and talking. Can you imagine the fun these guys are having? They are inebriated. They are just laughing. Everything is fun, and they take off down Mill Street, and they slammed into the tree. All the happiness that they could have been having is now gone. So that happiness is fleeting that we're talking about in the world. But I want you to know the kind of joy that we can have is permanent. It is not something that an accident or a death or any kind of circumstance in this world can take away. We all have experienced a happy life being turned into a life of misery in one way or another. So as we look at that this morning, keep in mind that biblical joy is not about being happy. You can be happy winning a game, making a good grade. You can be happy having a date. You can be happy having an anniversary. There are so many things that can happen that can make us happy. But that kind of happiness is going to go away. Happiness is that feeling that comes over you when you know life is good and you can't help but smile. Happiness is a sense of well-being. Happiness includes joy of this kind. And sometimes that causes us to get a really super sense of biblical joy confused. But that joy brings contentment sometimes for the moment. When people are successful, you've done something really well, you get a new job, you get a raise, we're successful in some way, or if we're safe, we've been very fortunate, every one of us. I have been in accidents a time or two, a fall or an automobile accident where I was very blessed, and all of a sudden I'm scared, and now I'm safe, boy, I'm happy. And so we have that kind of happiness. We get lucky sometimes. I played baseball in college, and I remember I hit two home runs in my whole college career. One of them barely got over the fence, but the other didn't come close to getting over the fence. I was playing Abilene Christian. I hit a line drive that should have been just a base hit. Bases were loaded. The ball hit a clump of something. The center fielder was running in. That ball bounced over his head. They had a field out there at Abilene at that time, a big old place 450 feet away from home plate. I was able to run around the bases quite easily after that guy was running in. I was lucky. That's all in the world that was, just plain luck. Should have never had a Grand Slam home run. But let me tell you, when I slid into home plate that day and was safe, I was as happy as if I'd have hit that ball 100 miles over the fence. That kind of thing, luck brings happiness. That's what happiness is about. But I get up the next time to bat thinking Grand Slam. Strike out. It's not so much fun. You don't get so happy over that kind of circumstance. I didn't get lucky. I didn't close my eyes and swing and hit the ball. I was out. So we get happy sometimes over things that happen for a lot of different reasons. But look at this. Please look at this. Biblical joy is a choice. It is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. Why? Why would anybody do that? Because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish His work in and through our lives. You know, the neatest thing about looking at God's history that he shares with us in his word is God uses sometimes the worst of circumstances to accomplish his will. He uses the worst of people to accomplish his will. And so we can be content in the circumstances that come and satisfied knowing God is going to use us in a positive way if we will be used. And so we can think about biblical joy being a choice. But biblical joy will only come to you when we truly trust that God will use our life circumstances to bring about good. It is so neat to read that passage in Romans 8 that says, "Now we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose." We like to read that passage, but unless we really trust that God is going to use all things, Paul didn't say all things are good. Paul said all things can be used for good. The worst, most miserable, lousy, horrible, terrible circumstance in your life can be used to bring about some of the greatest good the world will ever know. But if we're going to be joyful in the biblical sense, we are going to trust that God is going to use that. He is in control, and the world is not falling apart because God is disinterested. It must be used to bring about good in our lives. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, after God is teaching us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, he said, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is going to be at work in your life. If you trust him, it is going to bring about great good. Sometimes he uses people that don't trust in him. But I'm telling you, for you to be joyful and for you to be content, you're the one that's going to have to believe that God is at work in your life and that he is working for his good pleasure. We hear and sing and read that God is good. It's not that God just does a good thing or two, but through and through, inside out, God is good. And he's going to work in you to bring about great things. And so God himself is our source of joy. We don't get that kind of joy on our own. We cannot, because we're human. When we mash our finger, it hurts, and all we know is it hurts, and I want it to quit hurting, and I'm going to be miserable till it quits hurting. And why in the world would we live in a world where I could mash my finger and hurt like that? It doesn't seem like a good, gracious God could do that. But when you multiply that mashed finger to a lost arm, or to a crippling disease, or to a disease where the physicians say, we don't know how to help with this disease, and we're facing death imminently. How could all of that happen? How could God be good? Well, God is at work in our lives using all of those things, and it's possible for every one of those things to bring about good. God himself is the source of our joy. Look at Galatians chapter 5. If you look at verse 14, if you are willing to walk as God would have you to walk, and the word walk there means to live life, if you're willing to live life, not according to the flesh. You see, my flesh sometimes might lead me to be like those two guys I talked about who were in that accident. They wanted a buzz. They wanted something exciting. They wanted to have fun, and they wanted it now. And they felt like they needed something to give them more happiness and joy. That's following your fleshly desires. When we begin to follow our fleshly desires, we're going to lose out on the joy that God offers to us if we walk not according to the flesh, but as verse 18 says, if we walk by the Spirit. We let the Spirit of God lead us. We can read how to live a good life, what to do to live a good life. God didn't leave us in limbo about what is good. He tells us what is good. He didn't let us guess about what is bad and what is not good. He tells us exactly what is there. And so the fruit of the Spirit, as you begin reading in verse 22, love and joy and peace, and you read the rest of those, they are a byproduct of living the way God would have you to live. And this is a joy that nothing in this world, no external circumstance, can take away from you. Joy in life circumstances. And I want to repeat, this is biblical joy that we're talking about. Now, when we go back to James chapter 1 and beginning in verse 2, James says, count it all joy, my brothers. All joy. There's no joy left out. If something is going wrong in your life, and we have people in this room today whose health is not good, you're struggling. We have people in this room who are having financial problems. We have people in this room who are having relationship problems. We have people in this room who've lost people that they love dearly and have laid them to rest. We have all kinds of circumstances that are going on in our lives in this room. And James is talking to you. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. Different kinds of trials, they're coming. For you know, that's the key. You know by faith, trusting God. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Some translations say patience, but it gives you the will and the desire and the power and the strength to stand firm in the joy that God gives to you to have in a biblical sense. When you have that steadfastness and it produces its full effect in you, you are going to be perfect. And the word means complete. You're going to be all that you can be. You won't be lacking in anything. You're going to be lacking in nothing if you trust God. And you put yourself in the position of one who chooses joy even in the worst of circumstances. All joy. Joy to the fullest. An overflowing, exuberance-filled, lively joy. That's the way one writer described all joy. An example of this kind is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. When Peter is talking to people whose lives are being threatened, these people are under heavy persecution, difficult lives. They are suffering, intensely so in some cases. And he says, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Everybody in this room faces difficulty. You face trials. Can you look at that and say, even in this I'm rejoicing because of what God offers me in Christ Jesus? Peter talks about being born again. Not by some corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. We can experience that joy to the fullest in the worst of circumstances if we choose. Remember, it's a great word. Brings us joy sometimes. Brings us misery. Sometimes. But the misery that comes in this world because of the world circumstances is fleeting. Remember, just like the happiness, the joy, the misery that comes is fleeting. All of us have been down and out and hurting and suffering and then come back to life with a happiness that the world offers to us. But God is offering us more if we remember that joy. Biblical joy is just not about being happy. It's not about being voted the best looking thing in town. It's not about having the best grades in town. It's not about, and you just keep on naming whatever it is that might bring you happiness in this world. It's about a trusting, loving relationship with a gracious God who sees every problem that we have, every sin that we have, and loves us so much that we can sing joy to the world. The Lord is come. We have a great blessing in that. So remember, joy is not happiness. Also remember, you can go through life being miserable. Some do. There may be somebody in this room that is going through life absolutely miserable. You don't have to, because the kind of joy God offers to you is a choice. And if you choose it, you can have it. And then we must always remember, when we remove God from our lives, we remove the possibility of this kind of joy not going to exist in a life where you are not seeking to fulfill God's will in your life. And so as we close this morning, if you are not doing God's will, everything that we know about that is good and right that comes to us from God pleads with you and begs you to turn your life toward God, to find the happiness that comes from knowing that you today can be holy, you can be sanctified, you can be set apart, you can be made complete, everything that you need to be made by turning to God and loving Him and obeying Him. Nothing in this world should bring you more happiness. And nothing in this world can bring you that kind of joy. And so we extend to you God's invitation. If you've never been born into the family of God, that's where happiness that the Bible talks about begins. That new birth by repenting of your sins, confessing to God your faults. He already knows them, but He wants you to acknowledge them and lay those burdens on Him by confessing His name as your Lord, as your Savior, and being buried with Him in baptism so you can be raised a new creation. All of those old things are passed away. All things are become new. That brings the joy God wants every one of us to have. There's probably at least one person in this room who has experienced that joy in the past, but you've let the world crumble in on you, or you've happily accepted the world, and it's hard to find that joy. It's not to be found, in fact, outside of a right relationship with God. And so this morning, this invitation is to encourage you to respond now, if you would like. But we have elders that meet in a classroom after our worship to talk with you, to help you, to encourage you. And there are so many great, loving people in this room that would love to help you find that joy. And if during this song you want to respond to God, please do. Let's stand and let's sing.